Hebrews chapter 5. All right, in our last lesson, we were introduced to Melchizedek, and everybody wants to know who that is, what he's about. Good Lord willing, we'll find that out, but not today. What he was really doing, the writer, is he was comparing, just really quick, the high priest, or the priesthood, I should say, of Melchizedek with the superiority of Jesus' priesthood over the high priest or any other priest. He was saying that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He says in the last verse that we studied last week, verse 10, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he begins in verse 11 and he says, about this we have much to say. And he's going to say it. He's going to say a lot about the priesthood of Melchizedek and how it prefigured the priesthood of Jesus. And how because of that, Jesus' priesthood was far better than the Aaronic priesthood. And it was far better than any other priest that has ever lived. But before that, this is going to happen. What we're going to see today. So he has a lot to say about the relationship of the priesthood of Melchizedek to the priesthood of Jesus. Certainly we shall see much meat in that comparison. But before that, he's going to warn these believers. And of course, I do believe there were some unbelievers in this group. But primarily here, I think he's speaking to believers in these last few verses about their lack of growth. You know, Charles Spurgeon always said that it was important for him to preach to the young folks in the church so that the older folks in the church could understand it. Well, I understand what he means there. But if you read the works of Spurgeon, you'll find that he often deals with some meatier topics from time to time. You need meat in your spiritual diet. I had somebody tell me recently that they attended a church for a long time and every single Sunday morning sermon was an evangelistic sermon. In other words, it was all about Jesus, come to Jesus, trust Jesus, believe in Jesus, you know, which are all good things to say when you tell people believe in the gospel, you know, that's not bad in and of itself, but if that's all you ever get as a spiritual diet, you can't grow. That is milk to a child of God. That is the basic thing that the babe in Christ understands, that Jesus is the Savior. They don't know anything else. You've got to grow into some more meaty stuff, like comparing the high priesthood of Melchizedek to the priesthood of Jesus. You see, that's deep. And the writer of Hebrews here says in verse 10 that Jesus was designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he says, about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. It wasn't hard to explain only because it's deep. But sometimes deep things are hard to explain. Those of you that have taught, you know that sometimes you have things in your mind that it's just difficult to get out. Some things are hard. Some things are difficult to explain just because of the depth that is involved in it. And there are people who are spiritually immature that it does not matter how good you enunciate the words, they cannot grasp it because they have not grown. That's where these people were. They were saved, but they had not grown. At least the ones he's addressing, I believe, were saved, but they had not grown. The difficulty is not in that it was hard to explain so much, but the difficulty was in, since you have become dull of hearing. That's where the issue was. The explanation was not the problem, but they had not grown enough to understand it. Now, the Corinthian saints had a similar problem. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, who had all these divisions going on, you know, they One was of Paul, one was of Apollos, one was of Peter, one was of Jesus. And that's the right answer, by the way. But the way that Paul addressed them in that, I don't know that it wasn't more words than it was anything. Just an argument. It was one of the negative divisions that he was speaking about. But he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people." Why? "But as people of the flesh and as infants, babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it." If you've been saved for quite a while, you should be ready for some spiritual meat. You should be ready to dig your teeth into something more than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is foundational and necessary and should be part of everything that we do. But there's more meat to it than just that simple truth. And Paul told these people that he could not address them with deeper things because they were not ready for it. And he went on in that verse and he said, "And even now you are still not ready." Peter warned people about the same exact thing in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation." Not that they would grow and earn salvation, but that they would grow in the salvation that they already got. You've got to, when you're first saved, take milk like a child and grow into that. Look, it wasn't that Paul and Peter doubted these folks' salvation, but simply, at least in the case of Corinth, they had not applied themselves. And it's not only disappointing to the Lord as it is. When you grieve the Holy Spirit and you're not doing what He's leading you to do, it's disappointing, but it's also detrimental to our own joy and peace. You cannot rejoice in the things of God if you don't know about the things of God. It takes truth to rejoice. Peter instructs his readers not to remain infants, but to grow. A lack of spiritual growth will cause a multiplicity of problems, including constantly being convinced of other various untruths. People present an argument to you, you know nothing about the Scripture, you're not well grounded in the Scripture, you jump on it, boom, there I am. Somebody else presents an argument, there I am. Somebody else presents an argument, there's no Bible to base it on. That's one of the reasons that our encouragement here is read your Bible. Every day, get in the Word of God. If it's through the Bible in a year, praise the Lord. If it's not that, just read. Just know the Scripture. Don't avoid it. Because you need to know what the Bible says. If you read just articles that agree with you all the time, you will always believe what you believe right now. But if you read the Bible, it may tell you that what you've always believed is wrong. See, we've got to grow in the Word of God, and that's what's being told here. These believers have been saved for quite a while, back in Hebrews chapter 5. These believers had been saved for quite a while. How do we know that? Well, he says in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." They've been saved long enough that they should have learned some truth so well that they were able to explain it to people who were new converts so that they could grow in the truth. They had been saved long enough that they should have been teachers. How are we in this state? Not just we, our church, but we, Independent Baptist churches. How are we in this? Do you know how often I've talked to people when I've gone to various places and I've heard people say, well, I don't know a lot about that subject. And it may be something we've gone through a few times in a Sunday school class or whatever, because we try to go verse by verse and not skip stuff. Then people say, I just don't know a lot about that subject. Is that the fault of the Spirit? No. Is it the fault of the information? No. It could be the fault of the church itself, as far as the way they're set up. And it could be the fault of the person. You see, we need to be in the Word of God. By this time, they should have been teachers, but they didn't. This is the fault only of the believer, for God has supplied His Word to us all. But I would probably include the church there too. Even these people had the Old Testament. I mean, that's what the writer of Hebrews is explaining to them, right? He's not explaining the book of Revelation to them. Revelation hadn't been written yet. He's explaining the Old Testament to them. They should have drawn some of these parallels already. They should have understood the high priesthood of Melchizedek. Paul, there I go. I've been trying not to say that. I do not believe Paul wrote this book, but it is so easy when he wrote 20 others. The writer of Hebrews tells them here they should have known some things, but they don't. In fact, he goes on and says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You know nothing. In fact, you don't even know the basic stuff anymore. You need somebody to reteach you the basic thing. That is modern-day Christendom. That is modern-day Christendom. The obvious comparison here is that of a newborn infant with a full-grown adult. That is the obvious comparison. Is it unnatural for a newborn infant to take milk? No. That is natural and normal. Is it unnatural for a newborn child of God to only be able to stomach some milk? Yes, that's normal and natural. That's what you would expect when somebody's just saved. They don't know a lot. They know Jesus, but they don't know anything else. Is it normal and natural after a year if a newborn infant can still only take milk? We're getting outside normal now, right? I mean, you ought to be sticking some cereal in that milk. We stuck it in there probably too early, but one of our children cried himself to sleep every night. Still does about half the time. I did not mention Caleb's name. You ought to be feeding children level one formula. I mean, level one vegetables that taste horrible. Level two, level three, right? I mean, you should be working into some of these things. And before long, you're taking food off the table. And you may mash it up a little bit and tear it apart, but you're feeding them from the table. And before long, they're able to feed themselves. That's the normal, natural progression. It's not that way the day that they are born. They can only stomach milk for quite a while. But you would think something wrong if a child's 10 years old and he's still only taking milk. You'd be taking him to the doctor because there's something wrong with him. The same is true with the child of God. If you find a person that's been saved 10 years, they should know something. We need to be growing in the Word of God and learning about it. And that's all the writer of Hebrews here is saying. You ought to be teachers by this time. This is scalding, really. You ought to be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. He's not saying they should need milk. He's saying they should need meat. But that they need milk because of their lack of growth. What do we grow by? Look, I got tons of books back here. I get I don't know how many papers in the mail. And Google is full of articles on anything you want to read on it. But the only surefire truth is the Word of God. Every book that you pick up written by a man has some problems with it. The only surefire truth is God's Word. That's what we need to be learning from. It is, and by the way, we don't need to take our ideas and read them back in. That's faulty study. You take the Bible and you find out your ideas. That's where you learn how you're to be. He goes on and says, "For everyone who lives on milk lives on it." You see the point? They're still living on it late in their Christian walk. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child." I mean, would you tell a 3-month-old, "Make sure you get the grass cut when I get back home"? No. They can't even change their diaper. It'd be awesome if they could. They're not capable. And that's normal. But if you told an 18-year-old, "Hey, have the grass cut when I get back home," they should be capable of doing it, right? I mean, they've grown. They're physically able. They're mentally able. They're mature. Or, well, somewhat. "If you just live on milk, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness since you are a child." Clearly, the comparison we see going on here, a baby is unable to perform anything that we see as duties of this life. That is not unnatural, but the lack of growth is unnatural for a child. And it's unnatural for a believer too. He says in verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice." Did you get that? Constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Constant practice. That sounds like you ought to read your Bible every day. Constant practice. If you have to pick your Bible up on Sunday morning and that's not good. That's not the definition of constant practice. Mature Christians can take deeper teachings. And the writer of Hebrews is about to delve into some mature things. In fact, next week, good Lord willing, in chapter 6, verse 1, he's going to say, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity." Is he saying, don't ever mention Jesus? No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that's the foundation. Now let's build up from that. And that's how Christians ought to be. You ought to know more this week than you knew 6 months ago. If you've been saved the whole 6 months, you should. The passage before us, strictly speaking, is dealing with the teaching of Melchizedek. In other words, some of them couldn't take the teaching of Melchizedek because they were spiritually immature. Clearly. But that's a general truth. I mean, if the pastor gets up and speaks on a subject with which you aren't familiar, then you need to study that subject and you need to go learn something about it. And if you've been saved 20 years and he's preaching on things that you aren't familiar with, either he's not preaching from the Bible or you hadn't been reading it very well. There is no other option. It's not just so much that mature Christians can take deeper teachings, though. Mature Christians actually need deeper teachings. How about if I said, "Lance, Diane, y'all come over tomorrow night. We're going to cook milk for you." I mean, Diane cooked a salad one time. Surely we can cook milk up. You might say, "Well, we'll eat before we come over." Because that's not very filling. That's not a normal thing. What if we're going on vacation for a week and we say, well, let's just take milk. Let's drink milk all week. That don't sound like much of a vacation. Let's just not go. That's not normal. That's not what's healthy. Milk is good for you, despite what you may read in a medical journal. I believe milk is healthy, but it's not all that an adult needs. They need solid food as well. Solid food is for the mature, those who have learned to discern by constant practice, those who can distinguish good from evil. Mature Christians need deeper teachings. Even more, if a milk-only diet is not healthy. We need deeper teachings from God's Word on a variety of subjects from Genesis to Revelation. Jeff Short starting studying today on the book of Isaiah. He's talked to me about it all week. And he said, if they don't like it, it's their fault because they asked for it. But he texted me yesterday and he says, this is the longest introduction I've ever had for a book. He texted me this morning and he said, it's going to take me 2 weeks to do the introduction on this book. But it's a huge book. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And it's something that I've put off way down the line. He asked me, you think you're going to do Isaiah anytime soon? I said, no, I got about 20 other books that I plan to do before Isaiah. But there is a benefit in Isaiah. It is there for a reason. There are tons and tons of good truths in that book. And I'm sure they will benefit greatly from studying that book. My point is, if all we ever do is read Ephesians 1 and 2 and Romans 8 and 9 and 10, and we've got all of those that don't stick together, but the rest of the pages stick together, you know what we are? Babes. Immature. Probably the truths that are contained on those pages we misapply because we don't understand how they fit in with all the other pages that stick together. Man, I love the doctrines of grace, but they have to be taken in the scope of the whole Bible and how they fit together in God's plan of redemption. You've got to see it all. Because so many today don't receive such meat. In and outside of our churches, Christendom is full of babes in Christ who can hardly serve themselves, much less teach others to. That's the strong words that he's saying here to these people. Let us not be this. We need to grow. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. Will you dismiss us, sir?